Hallelujah. Come on, every hand lifted, every voice lifted. Let's love on him a little bit. We give you praise, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. We worship you, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Has God been good to you? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we just feel after the presence of God here just a little bit? Just wander off in your spirit. Just walk up and down this a little bit. Ah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We bless your name, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach over, lay your hand on somebody. Take somebody by the hand. Link yourselves together right now. Ah, hallelujah. Mighty God, worthy God, holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. How blessed we are to be a part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And everything that's going on in the world right now, nothing is sure except the fact that there is no end to the increase of his government and peace, and that everything's going to culminate exactly like the word of God indicates. We're going to make our way to our destiny in the kingdom of God, and we're going to take as many people with us as we can. That's the heart and soul and purpose of the church of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in Numbers chapter 7, making our way through this Old Testament. Numbers 7, and they're getting instruction now about how to move this operation, this tabernacle system, and how it's going to be designated that different people have different responsibilities and different tribes have different jobs to do. The division of labor in the moving of the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 7, verse 7, 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon. These are Levites, according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because of the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. If you love his word and you're glad for it tonight, let's give God praise and thanks. As you're seated, let's lift up a voice and a shout of praise for his word. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify you. We worship you. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. And this is these divisions of responsibilities. The tabernacle, its floorboards and pillars and all of the hardware that goes into that. And we've actually talked about these things in recent months as we've made our way through the description of the construction of this tabernacle. And one group carries and packages and transports the framing of the tabernacle. Another group carries all of the hangings and the drapings and the walls and the fabric and all of the things that make up the covering of it. But this is about the tribe of the sons of Kohath, and these are all out of the tribe of Levi. These are all Levites, the Gershonites and the Merarites and the Kohathites. They're all Levites, and so they're there encamped nearby, and they're there for the service of the tabernacle. And this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. They can see it, they can handle it, and they can cover it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. Everything was made, all the larger pieces were made with rings along the sides, and staves that were made so that everything in the house could be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue. And verse 8, and they shall spread upon a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with badger skins. And verse 9, they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick and the light and its lamps and its tongs and its dishes and the oil vessel. Verse 10, and they shall put it in all the vessels therein with a covering of badger skins and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with badger skins and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all of the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary and put them in a cloth of blue and cover them with a covering of badger skins and shall put them on a bar, and they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon, and they shall put it upon all the vessels thereof wherewith they minister about, and even the censers and the flesh hooks and the shovels, and they're going to cover it in the same manner. Verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. And these things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. And then in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 17, and the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die. When they approach the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered. So they cannot see the holy things, and they cannot touch the holy things, but after they are covered and after they are prepared, they go in and they hoist those things on their shoulders and they make their way to the next place of encampment. They're carrying God's process for redemption. They're carrying their access unto God. They're carrying all the things that God put in place so people could come into the presence of God, have their sins taken care of, they can grow, they can fellowship with God. They can have God and his presence in their midst. That's what they are carrying. They're carrying the word of God. They're carrying the faith of these elders. They're carrying everything that has to do with what it means to be the people of God. The Gershonites are going to carry the oil for the light and the incense and the daily meat offering and the anointing oil and oversight of the sanctuary, the coverings and the curtains and the hangings. And they're going to have oxen and they're going to have wagons, and they can load their stuff up in those wagons, and they're going to make their way to the next encampment walking alongside. And they have some work to do, but they're not weighty, and they're not carrying on their shoulders across a barren wasteland the things that the Kohathites are carrying. The Merarites are going to carry all the framing, the boards and the pillars and the sockets and the pins and the cords. And two wagons and four oxen he gives to the sons of Gershon according to their service. And four wagons and eight oxen he gives to the sons of Merari according to their service. These are all Levites under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But under the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging to them was that they should bear it upon their shoulders. And this is a theme of sorts throughout the scripture. Important things are carried on the shoulders. And if you really want to carry something in a stable, solid way for a time, and you really want to get your muscle under it, you need to get your shoulder under it. And the Word of God says, regarding the incarnation and regarding the Christ, it talks about the fact that the government shall be on his shoulders. And we see in Exodus 28 about the work of an engraver stone, like the engravings of a signet. You'll engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel and make them to be set in, it says, ouches of gold, and we would call them pouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial to the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Or if you would, the high priest is carrying the people of God on his shoulders into the presence of God. So the Kohathites are carrying the most holy things. They're carrying the things that are deep in the tabernacle system. They're carrying the Ark of the Testament and the altar of incense and the table of showbread and the candlesticks. Things that are invisible to them, they'll never see them. Things they cannot approach unto, nor can they handle. By the time they get there and it's time to move the encampment, things are wrapped up and all they can see are the old rough badger skins. They can't even see the precious blue cloth that goes down as an interior cover. And in the next encampment, they have ensured the redemption process and they facilitated the presence of God for the nation. And for them, though, it was work. It was strenuous work, and it was hot, and it was full of sweat and discomfort. And everyone else in that Levitical calling, they walked alongside their wagons, and the oxen pulled and carried those loads, but not the precious and the holy things of God. God said, I'm going to have some people that hoist those things on their shoulders, and they may not handle them, they may not see them, but they're going to carry the weight of those things across this landscape until we set this thing up again. And they, by their strength and by their determination and by their dedication, and because they won't quit and because they persevere, they're going to allow us to set up again and enjoy the redemptive process of God in another place for another time. And we're going to move on into the place of promise just like that. The Kohathites can't see it. They can't handle it in its established form when it's set up and it's working. But they feel the weight of the invisible. They feel the invisible things that they are carrying. An estimate, and you can't really tell, but it is a pretty good estimate that the Ark of the Testament weighed about 600 pounds. And I don't care who you are. You get down and you're going to clean that bar. And you're going to raise that bar up and drop it on your shoulder, and it's going to be more perhaps than 150 pounds for each one of them. And that might be something you do and say, aha, I've got it. But now we're going to walk, and we're going to walk as long as the cloud is moving, we're going to walk. And until the cloud stops, we're going to walk. And it might be 5 miles, and it might be 20 miles, and we don't know how far it's going to go. But we've got a calling. We're going to carry the precious things of God. We've got a calling. We're going to carry the invisible things of God, because the babies are coming along behind us, and another generation is coming along behind us, and there's going to be another encampment, and we've got to be there. When we all get there, the things of God have to be there and have to be in place. And I'm not looking, I'm not studying the Merarites who have a wagon, and I'm not thinking about the Gershonites who have a wagon. I've got a calling in God. I'm not looking around for who has it easier. I'm not looking around at people that are not carrying the load. I'm just looking at him, and I'm saying, God, whatever you want me to carry, I'll carry it as far as you want and as often as you want. Is there anybody with an attitude in this house tonight that can say, I am sold out to the cause of God? I am sold out to the things of God. I have a heart to serve God. And I hear the Word calling me, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. The Kohathites are carrying the Ark of the Testament. And in the Ark of the Testament is the Word of God. The Kohathites are carrying the Word of God. The tables of stone, the rod of Aaron, the authority of God that fits a man's hand, the systems by which God works among his people. They're carrying the bowl of manna, the provision of God and the promise of God. They're carrying the candlestick, which is the revelatory knowledge of God. They are carrying that, and it's a weighty thing. And others might like to carry something a little lighter or something a little less cumbersome, but this is God's things, and I don't have a right to change God's things, and I don't have a right to edit God's things, and I don't have a right to opt for some lighter duty. I've been called to this, and the revelation of God is a heavy thing, but it's an essential thing. They're carrying the table of showbread, or the Word of God made for the consumption of a man, and the altar of incense, which is typical of prayer and praise. And they're carrying the altar, which is consecration. And some people have left these things behind. Some people have relegated these things to times of old. Some people have said these things are just for old-timey people and for biblical days and all that. But I'm just telling you, you won't be the people of God without a consecrated heart. And without a consecrated experience, somebody's got to carry the experience of consecration and the Word of consecration. Somebody's got to draw close to God. They carried the laver. It was for the cleansing of an entire nation. And they never saw what they carried. They carried the weight of it, and they felt the weight of it. We carry heavy, invisible things. We carry this old ship of the apostolic church. It set sail in Acts chapter 2. It set sail 2,000 years ago. And no number do we have to tell us how many apostolics have come and gone. But I'll just tell you, they didn't write the history during the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages and all of that. But friend, there has always been a church, because there is no end to the increase of his government and his peace. There has always been, down in the time when Rome was expanding and the church was in persecution, there was somebody that was standing for the things of God. And after the time in the post-apostolic era, there were people in the second century, while Catholicism was emerging and ascending, there were people who still stood in the midst of Acts chapter 2, and they still preached the repentance of sin and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling with the Holy Ghost. There was somebody continuing to carry the invisible yet necessary, the heavy things of God. Not easy. In the time of the Reformation, we find a good man by the name of Michael Servetus, who was a Spanish doctor, and he had found the oneness of God. Somebody had opened up the truth to him. Somebody had carried that heavy thing for 1,000 years and a couple of centuries and brought it to Michael Servetus, and he had written a book, and he had found the oneness of God, and he came to talk to John Calvin, the reformer, about it. And Calvin burned the man, and he burned his books. But you can't stop what God is doing, and you can't stop the truth, because somebody will find it, and somebody will lay hold of it, and somebody will pick it up, and they'll walk another mile, they'll walk another century, they'll walk into another season with the things of God, the invisible things of God. Let's give God a little praise, and let's magnify him. Praise God. We carry the promise of God. There is no hope for our world outside the church. It doesn't matter how advanced or how backward the culture. The hope of the world, the light of the world, is the church of the living God. This is God's choice methodology for redeeming his world. There is no other way. You're going to find the church, or you're going to be lost. You're going to be a part of the church, or you're going to be lost. And somebody, I'm so glad that somebody was carrying the things of God when I came, when my time came, when God touched my heart. I'm glad somebody was still preaching the Word of God. Yeah. We carry the anointing of God. God's anointing rests upon his truth. It rests upon his word. You won't find it like this anywhere else. I was telling a gentleman this morning, my mom was a diehard Baptist. She always went to that church. She took me there when I was a little boy, and I quit going when I got old enough to see what was actually happening there. But when one of the cousins or one of the grandchildren would get in trouble with drugs or alcohol or something like that, she didn't even bother talking to them about going down to her church. She said they need to go down to Barry Wade's church. They need to go down to that Holy Roller church. They need to go down there where they're really serious about prayer and about a moving of God. Because my mama knew. She knew about Pentecostal churches. She had been around them when she was a little girl. I'm just telling you. I'm glad somebody is still carrying the weight of the kingdom. We're carrying the promise. We're carrying the anointing. We're carrying the gospel. The gospel was espoused in Acts chapter 2. It was reaffirmed all through the book of Acts in several locations. It was enacted and people received and experienced the gospel. Paul talks about it. All of the apostles discuss it and dissect it and teach it and talk about it. But it never varies and it never changes. The gospel is repentance. It is the death of Jesus Christ. It is burial, baptism in his name. It is resurrection. It is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I'm going to declare to you the gospel, how that first Jesus died, and then he was buried, and then on the third day he rose again. Friend of mine, that is the gospel. It's the only gospel, and somebody's got to carry it in 2019. We carry the word of God. We carry the light of revelation. We carry the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're making our way to the next encampment. We're making our way into the next season of revival. And we've got to make sure everything is intact. We've got a lot of babies and a lot of young people around here. And we've got to make sure that when we set up in that next generation or set up in that next season, that we have everything. We haven't left anything behind. We haven't lightened the load. That's what happens. People get to grumbling under the load of the weight of the kingdom of God. And they begin to jettison this and call that and edit this. And oh, that's a little more comfortable. That's not so weighty. That's not so heavy. That doesn't cause me problems on the job. That doesn't cause me problems with my family. That doesn't cause me to have to withdraw from the world around me. Because the things of God are heavy and demanding. They will separate you. They will dominate your steps. They will give you a gravity that you don't have in and of yourself. We want to make sure we carry it well, that it gets hot sometime carrying this stuff. Some days we get weary. I've seen some get weary and drop their load, turn back, leave the things of God. I've seen some that modified, rationalized, tried to create another gospel, which is not the gospel, Paul said. But not us. We're carrying on. We're carrying on for our children. We're carrying on for the sake of the kingdom of God. We're carrying on because we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. We're carrying on because we know nothing else will work in this day of the Antichrist, in this end time season. Nothing is going to redeem man but what redeemed him in Acts chapter 2 and in the beginning of the church age. The only thing that will cleanse your sins is the blood. The only way to get the blood is to go down in the water in Jesus' name. The only thing that will raise you up is the power of the Holy Ghost. We're carrying because God's been good to us and because the world needs to know. Praise God. The Kohathites had to wait. They had Aaron and his sons. They had the high priest and the central core group of the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, that went in and covered everything up and made everything according to the word of God, hid everything, made everything invisible, but made everything transportable. The scripture says we have a high priest. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And I want you to know what he did. Something new was going to happen. He tore the veil of the temple. And he tore the veil of his flesh. And a new day and a new season was starting. The law of Moses was over. Now we're into the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he went in and he covered up. He prepared. He packaged. He got it ready for us. And now he's called us in, and our high priest has made everything ready. And now, starting with those apostles, they took up those weighty things of God, and they began to carry them through their first century world, and it cost them all their lives. It cost them beatings and jail time and stonings, but they carried it, and they carried it well, and they carried it on. And now we're 2,000 years downstream, but as you and I make our relationship with Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in that same new Holy of Holies. The scripture says that the real Holy of Holies, the true Holy of Holies, was not yet made manifest while the old one was on the earth. The new one is this Holy Ghost experience. And when we come into it, we find all these things prepared for us. The Word of God, the light of revelation, the place of meeting between God and man, and all it needs. I mean, it's everywhere. It's all over the world. The glory of the Lord has filled the whole earth. But revival's not happening all over the world. It's happening in a lot of places. But it's not happening everywhere. It only happens where somebody walks into that new Holy of Holies and they find those precious things of God and they can't see them very clearly. Paul said, we see like through a glass darkly. It's kind of murky to us. We can't really understand it, but we start handling heavenly things. We start handling invisible things and we hoist them up on our shoulders and we begin to make the journey. He calls us to come and be a part of his kingdom, and part of that assignment is I want you to begin to carry these things on your shoulders in your day. And in doing so, you're carrying your generation on your shoulders, and the hope of the world on your shoulders, and the way of God to this day on your shoulders. Let's give God some praise and let's magnify him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes it chafes, and sometimes it gets difficult. But we are the light of the world. That's our assignment. We are a city set on a hill. They carried it as long as the cloud moved. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. They didn't know how long they'd travel. Sometimes it was in the day, and sometimes it was at night. But the trumpet sounded, the cloud began to move, and God is looking tonight for faithful, dependable people that are ready when God is ready. When God sounds the trump and the cloud begins to move, he's looking for somebody that's ready to travel, that's ready to respond, that's ready to say yes to God, somebody that'll carry the load, somebody that'll pray, somebody that'll worship, somebody that'll get down into the mix of God's things. Those that were carrying those invisible things, those Kohathites, they penetrated. They were the ones who carried the ark on the day that they crossed over the Jordan. The Kohathites, they were the ones who set their feet into that water. I understand that in that reading, the word of God says, and when the priest's feet, in the place where the priest's feet stood, but I want you to know and understand it was the Kohathites that were carrying that, and it was their feet that went into that flooded Jordan River, and that water began to back up, and a breach was made in more than just a watery place, but in a spiritual place. A way was made for an entire nation to cross over. People carrying the weighty things of God made a way, made a breach in the spiritual dynamic, and an entire nation passed over into the promise of God, and they didn't move. They stood there with that ark on their shoulder, and the word of God, and the authority of God, and the provision of God, and all of that. They stood there in that newly opened breach until everybody had passed over. They stood there. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. It's the Kohathites in numbers. And it's the Kohathites when David wants to go and retrieve the ark from the house of Obed-Edom. And he doesn't know how. And they put it on a cart. And they try to carry it like the Gershonites carried their stuff. And like the Merarites carried their stuff. And they wound up causing Uzziah to get killed because he saw it jostling, and he reached out and God struck him, because that wasn't the way you carry the weighty things of God. And they went back, and David called who? He called the Kohathites, and he got them there and said, we didn't carry it like we were supposed to the first time. You got to have this on your shoulders. And so they went down and they picked it up and they made a way. And here with Joshua, they're crossing the Jordan. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overflows all his banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city, Adam, that is, Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want you to know they were carrying the invisible, weighty, important authority, the word of God, the revelatory things of God. They were carrying them, and those things alone have the power to open the spiritual dynamic and cause a generation to pass over into promise. We've got a generation that needs the promise of God, and God's looking for somebody that'll shoulder up under the weight of God's calling, God's things, God's process. Stand in the middle of the spiritual dynamic and hold the things of God. How many hours did it take for a nation, perhaps 3-4 million people, to cross over? I don't know how wide the breach were, but they stood there with that weight on their shoulder. Go home and get 150 pounds and put it on your shoulder and just stand there. Stand there for an hour. Stand there for another. Try a third hour, a fourth hour, a fifth hour. See how it is. Sometimes it's not easy to be the burden bearer for the kingdom of God, but I'm just telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's right. It's acceptable to God. It's our calling. It's our mandate, and nothing else will satisfy. The Kohathites were the tip of the spear, and you're the church of the living God. You are the tip of the spear, those that make a way for others to cross over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua and said, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place. They're going to stay at Gilgal that first night, where you shall lodge this night. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua. You know what they did? They carried God's things faithfully and effectively, and because they were carrying the things of God. We can't do what needs to happen in the Spirit. We can't make those things happen. We don't have control over those things, but we can do what God commanded us to do. And as we do, something begins to move in the Spirit, and a way was made, and a breach was formed, and a path into promise came into reality there. And as it begins to happen, now they make commandment. Now choose you 12 men and have them each one get down in what was heretofore invisible, what was covered up, what is just a slam dunk metaphor for the things of the Spirit. That river, especially that Jordan River, that's the Spirit of life. That's the Spirit of God in the very heart of that promise of God to Abraham. But now there's a breach, and now they're down in what used to be under, but now it's open and visible. And when you open a breach, when we pray, when we worship, when we are faithful, and when the things of the Spirit begin to open in our city, then people, other people, young people, new people can walk in the place of the invisible, and they can find weighty things to take out into their world. It's necessary. You can't have a breakthrough without some Kohathites in your midst. You can't have an opening in the spiritual dynamic without some Kohathites in your... God's looking for some New Testament Kohathites here tonight. I want my babies to be able to find some weighty things down under the waters. I want some invisible things to open up and to become available. Some things they couldn't see, some things they couldn't know. Now they're laid bare. Now they can access them. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know about the name of Jesus. I didn't know about all the good things and the wonderful things that God had prepared for us. But I'm so glad when I walked in that church in Baton Rouge that somebody had prayed and somebody had been faithful and somebody had held up the standard. And there we were, and we were in a place we'd never been. And we were able to handle the weighty things of God. As you do that, you open it up for others. And so they carried them over with them into the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Come on, Sam. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. Where the feet of those Kohathites were, they made another. They built a memorial in the visible at Gilgal. They built another memorial in the invisible. When we carry the things of God faithfully and with perseverance, then we create dynamics so that we can build memorials in the visible and in the invisible. You can change things in your natural world. You can change things in your spiritual world. And Joshua said, and when your children come and ask you about what are these stones, you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them the whole story. You're going to tell them about deliverance from Egypt. You're going to tell them about the Red Sea. You're going to tell them everything. But hopefully you'll tell them too, there were some faithful people that carried the heavy things of God that they would never see. And they stood trembling in the midst of that river until we all passed over. And we've built a memorial to that day and to that experience. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. These invisible things are the things, the stuff that life is really made of. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The visible things, they are not of as great a value as the invisible things. Well, wait a minute. I'm serious about my job, and I'm serious about my family, and I love my friends, and I love people, and these are all visible things. And I understand what you're saying. But I'm saying those things are only going to operate and be to you significant in an eternal way if you pay attention to the invisible things first. Seek ye first the kingdom, the invisible things, and all these other things will be added to you. We look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not are eternal. New Life, we're carrying eternal things on our shoulders tonight. We're carrying the potential to open a breach in the city, in the metro area of Birmingham, so that a host of people can cross over into the promise of God. And everything around us is decrying the old ways. Everything around us wants to move the ancient landmarks. Everything around us wants to shut it down and quieten it down and make it more comportable to the world. But that's not our calling. We're carrying heavy things. We don't have time for those frivolous things. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So, what you guys going to do tonight? You got a plan? Somebody's cooked for us. We've got to make our way down to the gym and eat, which is the only polite thing we could do. Brother Cornwell said he has a policy that when people want to feed him, he lets them. That's a good policy. That's a good thing. When you are in a place of prayer, you are carrying those things of God. Don't let your prayer life subside. But let's find ways to take on more weight in the kingdom. When you're worshiping, I just got to tell you, I started worshiping when I was in my 20s. And I'm 65 and three quarters. And my knees don't like it so much as they used to. And my vertical isn't anywhere like it used to be. Now, Brother Travis, he dances like he's light as feathers. He's light as air. He could probably still run like the wind. But as long as I've got strength, and as long as I've got life, and as long as I can get down and get a hold of it one more time, in prayer and in worship and in word and in witness and in Bible study and in teaching and in faithfulness, I'm going to pick it up one more time. Come on, New Life. The cloud is moving. It's time for us to travel to the next destination, to the next place of encampment, to the next season of revival. You know, I'm feeling we're about to see some people receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on, worshiper. Come on, church. Somebody take up those essential things of God. Somebody take up the weighty things of God. Somebody take up the responsibility of the kingdom. Close. Get in close to somebody. Put your hands on somebody. Get your arm around somebody. Come on. Link up with somebody. Get your shoulder under this. Get your back into this. Prayed through in a church full of elders. We prayed through in a church full of older people. And I can see them in my mind's eye. Lots of gray heads, lots of old hands lifted up. That church had been a long time without a pastor. They had lost a whole lot of young people and young adults. But those elders were like oak trees all over that house. Little by little, one by one, they begin to slip away, and you start having those funerals, and they're not there anymore. And you don't hear that big voice in the prayer room, and you don't feel that comfort of that old man, that old woman coming along saying, come on, son, you can make it, you can do this, you can live for God, you can be great in the kingdom of God. And their shoulders are not there to bear it anymore. But somebody's going to take up those poles, those things that God made all of the precious things with a handle on it. He made it designed to be held and to be transported on shoulders. And God's looking for young men and young women today to say, I can do this. I'm a part of this. I'm going to be in the middle of this. I'm going to carry the weight of this thing. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. Let's lift up our voice, our hands, our hearts one more time. Somebody say yes. Somebody just say yes to God. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands into Him and bless His name. Praise God. Brother Cliff's about to baptize somebody in Jesus' name. But we're going to make our way down to the gym. Brother Jeff and that kitchen crew, they have been working yesterday and today to get ready for us. And so we're going to make our way down there. I know you want to visit, but you want to visit down there while you're eating. Praise God. Brother Terrell, won't you pray over the food for us?